Director said, we're going to get started with this possibly about nine, so we'll move on to Andy Harvey. Okay, anybody else? Okay, any declarations of interest? Okay, item three then is to restart time for the URP committee meetings from June. I'm going to propose that we just carry on as we did last year, where we had them at 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. So can we propose that? Aye, that or that one? Item number four then is the URP action sheet from the 14th of May. Does anybody have any issues in relation to that? In the action sheet? And if not, can we propose on the track here? Aye. Opposed by aye, seconded by aye, indeed. So has anybody any issues that there's a red up on them or looking at the other priority? No, good. Well, good, okay. We're going to number five. We have a presentation on the city team from Liam. I like everybody else is from the chapter 10.
I'm very happy.
I've never done that in my life. I have to start today. Thanks, Chairman. I suppose what I wanted to really do was try to bring you up to date, really, in terms of it, as I was being decided, where we are, and I suppose conscious that we have a meeting on the 25th of the Inter-Council Forum. Again, keen that our members are aware of the key issues that are evolving and in terms of what we've done to date. And also update you with a meeting that we had with Treasury and the Department for Housing, Communities and Local Governments, the UK Department, which actually, and the Department which actually recommend to the Cabinet to sign off on the deal. So just, Chairman, to run you quickly through, sort of again to demonstrate how we've done, I think we've done that, and to talk about the next heads of terms. Chairman, there, what you've got there really is a sort of the policy and strategic direction. So what you've got in terms of what we want to do is look at a whole issue of infrastructure, skills development, tying in the industrial strategy, and again the digital framework being clearly important, and tourism. And again, our programmes then fall out below that there in terms of infrastructure, digital, innovation, employment and skills. And the key aspects of that there in terms of delivery, you know, we have project teams working below the chief executive group on with looking at both the communications aspect of it, the finance and governance in terms of what's going to cost us, and also wider engagement with the private sector as well on this. So again, I've dealt with the key areas. So that's the governance structure around this at this point in time. We have each of the individual councils take the individual decisions of the governing body. We have the Joint Council Forum, which again has met, the last time met in Downpatrick, next meeting is in Newton Abbey at the end of the month. And below that there you have a programme office, and in the programme office with the programme board includes two universities, the University of Ulster and Queen's University, along with Peter May, the Permanent Secretary for the Department for Infrastructure, who is actually the link with the government department. So in terms of all the other capital projects, he is the link with the executive office on that. And again, the various themes then, there is key officers leading on each of the themes going forward. Again, the key investment pillars are the areas that we want to invest in. Just moving on there. So then we'll take you through each of them in terms of the economic infrastructure. Again, this is the capital projects. So what you've got is basically three key parts of it. One of it connectivity, because again, just to remind you, the whole purpose, the whole parameters for measuring the success of the deal will be it's actually inclusiveness, so it's targeting those in the most deprived areas. It's also about growing GBA, so growing the economy within the area and actually improving the jobs. So it's improving skills to improve the jobs, improve the job opportunity, and then actually bring better and more highly paid jobs into the area and being able to support that. Again, regeneration and placemaking, again, improving the region and place to work, invest and invest, so tailor with businesses on that there, and enablers for growth. And we have got three projects linked to them there. The Southern Relief Road, which members will be led with through DFI, Newry City Regeneration, which is the new Civic Centre, Conference and Theatre Facility, and then the wider hotel office accommodation we linked into that. The other project then is the Key Harbour expansion project, which we're working with the Department for working with Key Strategic Partnership with the Department for Agriculture and the Environment, and also working along with our gas currently on this year to try and bring them more up as well with the project as well. Again, then the tourism aspect of it. Again, world class tourism destination. So again, we have two projects out there: Newcastle Gateway to the Moors and Warm Point Marina. Again, two projects which we believe will enhance the tourism experience and tourism offering in our area. Again, the next pillar is really innovation, and this pillar really looks at how we can improve innovation and development within this area. And again, this, you've got to remember, this covers the whole cultural area. So, you know, cyber security, a growing development area within probably the Titanic area. The Titanic area has identified a number of cyber security firms within it, but also through, we know we have businesses in our area which are involved in fintech and cyber security. And what we want to do is actually take these areas of potential growth, which are specialists in other areas, and actually try to expand these out within our area. So the whole idea really in terms of innovation is to actually to look at how we can develop innovation hubs. Not developing one within the area, but actually looking at having an innovation hub linked to each of the council areas. Again, this has been very much led by the two universities, who will have the research capability to work in with business and working with private sector to look at how we can develop centres of excellence within each of the council areas. And again, specialised in broader research areas within some of the other council areas. So this is across the whole region. Tied into the innovation then is the next thing is digital. And again, the whole looking at four emerging digital projects within this area. And again, we've been working with Future City Chatbot Council there, the consultants we've brought in. Again, Future City Chatbot works with the UK government, with a number of councils in the UK, but actually how they can bring digital technology to develop a digital strategy for the council area. So we're putting together a digital strategy for the whole new council area, which would look at actually how we can accelerate digital growth within these areas, tied into innovation and look at technology. So we have four emerging themes coming out of that. Let me just go back. The four emerging themes is one, first of all, is the 5G smart district and test bed program. So again, looking at the development of 5G and how we can expand 5G across the area to make ourselves a sort of leading region area in terms of development of 5G. Again, a regional connectivity fund, conscious of the cost of supply money that come in to develop rural broadband, how we can expand to make sure the super fast broadband is available across the whole city region area. Next program is a makerspace network, which looks at cloud potential makerspace collaborative projects, which are tied into centres of excellence and community facilities across all the council areas. So each of the council areas will have this makerspace, which will actually try and work with the private sector and the universities and the colleges to actually enhance innovation and grow, use the potential of improved digital connectivity to actually drive innovation within that area. And the last one is Digital Innovation Platform and Partnership, which will facilitate cooperative working and enable enterprise data infrastructure to be shared across the region. And this new platform to host and manage data from an access test bed to enable IT expert groups to advise on how projects and innovative projects can be developed. The final pillar is employability and skills, which again is using the Edinburgh model, signed the CD, and part of their project was that they put together this model for actually for skills and employability delivery. And what they've done there is the model shows is really what you want to do is have a done the work in terms of skills barometer, what the information is from the employers, what the employers want, is actually finding the right people to actually develop a set of programs which would support that. And what we have then coming from that is a number of key themes, and again, very much led by the colleges of education. So it's about career enhancement, which is focused actually to start to target school children within the schools to look at better informed choices for young people. So when they're deciding, should they be moving into apprenticeships, should they be working in business to provide full skills going forward. Again, the big issue in terms of STEM, everybody knows the need for STEM subjects to actually look at how we can work with schools and with colleges to actually improve STEM within our own area. Again, hospitality works as we shape the image and understanding of career opportunities within our area. Apprenticeship hubs be a way that councils can establish a resource across the whole region and area to sort of act as a focal point for local employers to signpost employment training opportunity, apprenticeship opportunities within our area. And again, it's to pilot new approaches, particularly for the 25 plus people, to actually target them in apprenticeships, to actually look at the growth areas and in terms, give them the skills to actually get more highly paid jobs going forward. Again, conscious of a business productivity plan, develop a suite of solutions which can support improvements in productivity for businesses. Again, part of the business strategy in terms tied into what Bruce and his catapult are doing is looking at if we're doing all this work in terms of providing levels of connectivity, doing work in terms of test beds and 5G to actually build skills within our citizens actually to be able to avail of digital developments within the area as part of the digital strategy. Graduate development program again is targeting graduates at an early stage to actually look at how they can get specialist management skills, specialist skills actually to access other jobs. So it's actually reshaping that work. And the final one is the employment academies, whereby a joined up approach to collecting information on what the employer demands and what the needs of the employers are, so we can do co-design training solutions. So working with businesses who have skills needs or skills gaps within their area to actually bring people forward through apprenticeship programs, through university, through graduate programs to actually provide the skills for businesses going forward. So I suppose then just in terms of where we are, where we started off with roughly the 50 projects, we've come down to 35 projects and able to prioritise further. The principle that we're working on is that, you know, this is a deal that we will do between ourselves and Treasury. So what actually you're doing the deal is on the basis of inclusivity. So how the whole programme of activities across all the pillars will actually provide to increase, first of all, to target the more deprived areas, but also it's about 4% increase in GDA. So it has to achieve increased economic growth within the area. The principle we're working across the council areas, the six council areas, is each council area will get an infrastructure project, at least one infrastructure project. But again, very much in terms of our conversation with the Department of Housing, Communities and Local Government last week, is that they're saying is we're looking at £1 billion deal. They think £1 billion too much, so we're into a bidding process at this point in time to see what sort of projects need to come forward. So between now and end of June, we need to get into a set of priority projects and work out outside business cases for each of these projects going forward. And that's quite a piece of work. And again, the work that we did last week was on the community regeneration project. Again, all that work is quite important as we bring them forward. So again, projects will be ranked by type and geography in each area. We'll have to look at the robust economic project information being captured onto it. And again, in terms of inclusivity, so we need to show that we're actually going to target the more deprived areas. And what we want to do then is put together a package of schemes based on a whole. So this is a region deal, so everything has to sit together. It's not Uri Mhuire and Down in isolation, it's Uri Mhuire and Down as part of a regional deal. We have to get outline paper prepared and through to the Cabinet Office and before the Westminster goes into recess at the start of September, which are outlining the key projects, and we need to pile that down to it. And then by September, we need to have the outline business case done for all these projects, so we can actually get, by the time of the budget statement signed off in November, we have a deal in position to deal with. It's critically important that we have this opportunity to do this deal between now and November, so if it doesn't happen before November, then basically we're running out of problems in terms of getting that done. So we're setting it. Next meeting is the JEC Members Forum. We in the papers there you'll have, we're back in selecting our members again to move forward. We have finalised the project development and cost. Again, this is a partnership work, so I remind members that, you know, if you take a project like Southern Relief Road, a project like the Kilkee Harbour project, that requires commitment not only from the council, but it requires commitment from the departments within the assembly, one of the assembly departments, and also to the private sector. So it requires all three to be on board on it, because if we're building a Southern Relief Road, that will require money from central government as well. We can actually do the work getting moving it forward, but it requires that commitment across the board. And again, we need to look at that there again, prioritising ranked against GBA and civility. And we want to try to do that. So, Chairman, that's the last thing then in terms of the statement going forward, so agreeing next terms by the autumn budget statement. So happy to take any questions. I know this is a fairly detailed paper, but what I'm trying to do is to pick out the key highlights on that, Chairman.
Okay, Councillors, you've had the report, thanks Liam. Anybody have any questions in relation to it?
Thanks, Liam. And I appreciate Ben sort of speaking about that. It can be quite confusing given that I'm not even sure that the government has adopted city deed yet or benefits.
Yeah, the autumn statement, actually the last autumn statement, there was a line put into when the Chancellor Speaker announced it, he said that they would work as part of the competence supply. It was one of the lines was included into it, that they would work with the councils in the Belfast City region and the executive department to bring together a CD for the Belfast City region.
Okay, and some of the examples that you used, and it's good to see some of the people been getting that impetus again, you know. But again, just getting it right in your mind, it can be confusing. Who would own the project, or who would rent the project? And we have met here with the steering committee, and we've put some pressure on the road service and so on. And like the main community here is a partner, it's sort of
it will be their responsibility. The difference is, as part of this project, in terms of driving it forward, we, the council, have now become a partner in the project, so we say this project is critically important for us. The difference that makes, Michael, is that you are in a position where now, where this would be one of several capital projects, which there is no point, you know, in terms of when we know the issue in terms of the budget. This will bring additional money into the treasurer over and above bar to actually make the Southern Relief Road work. So I suppose to cut a long story short out of it, if it was us, there's two roads competing for investment, Southern Relief Road is bringing additional money into it, so it's a priority increases. And reason for what's important to us, it opens out the South Downs area, so in terms of the whole broader Kilkee potential ground warm point development and investment in that area, it opens that up. It mitigates against the issues in terms of Brexit, because from Warm Point Harbour, trucks can there's not going to be, there's going to be any tariffs or checks to speed the whole thing up. It actually also too, in terms of when the harbour did the presentation was, what they're saying is one of the critical aspects for the promotion and development of the harbour is a solidly grow. So it ticks a lot of them boxes. So where I would argue being part of the deal actually increases the priority it's going to get going forward.
Okay, Brian. Thank you, Chair. I'm very interested in following forward. My couple of questions are, while I would agree fully with targeting the areas of need, we have been targeting those same areas of need for quite a while now. Has it made any difference in those areas? Should we be pushing on with burying more money in something that is not having any meaningful effect, where a lot of other areas are, because they don't fall in, say, the deprivation figure, they're being left out of a lot of these programs. And with regard to the connectivity, I think we have to find some way of pulling out because of our rural area. Targeting rural businesses and letting them know that these things exist so that they can buy into them. Because I know right in Central Half and out in the moment, there are areas where very poor rural connectivity or not, and there are a number of businesses that exist within that area.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, take the target deprivation. I would argue, Brian, that this is a totally new initiative. There have never been a CD done within Northern Ireland. There's been CDs done in Manchester, Glasgow, Edinburgh, and Cardiff. So this is quite unique to the area. And the difference is that what we're doing here is outside barring, so it's outside the principles whereby, you know, we get a lump of money across the UK government. This is over and above this. But it's going to be targeted on two measures. So the measures we're putting down is to improve deprivation, to improve employment opportunities within deprived areas. So we need to be scored against that there. That's not to say that there won't be employment opportunities for others in the area, but it does mean that you're particularly saying is we're going to target deprived areas. So that's the first point. The second point is that, you know, is that it's the project need to score on that basis. If they don't score on that basis, then they won't be accepted as part of the game.
Second
point, just in terms of engagement, we, you know, what we're looking to try and do is provide high-speed broadband to every business within the total area. And one of the big aspects we're going to do is, the thing, one of the key themes is about engagement. So this has got to be a partnership between ourselves, central government, and the businesses within the area. So we're providing broadband and we're working with other BT, other providers, such as BT, to encourage broadband. We will want to see that actually businesses then get to it. And that's because if businesses don't get into it, we're not going to see economic growth.
That was really a lot of my question. Has anybody done any research to see how the previous law has benefited those areas, or have there been any benefits?
It depends what work you're looking at. There's never been a CD region, never been a CD region. What we're saying is you've used peace money, there's been other rural development funds and stuff like that there, which have created benefits into it. What we're saying is this is a deal that we're doing with the UK Exchequer to actually bring additional money into it to tackle deprivation in them areas. That's what's been done in Glasgow, it's been successful in Glasgow, so we hope it's going to be successful here, and that's the intention.
Yeah, I was just on the question again of deprivation, just on what that actually meant. I presume in this case that it means the fact that we're having a relatively low wage economy in this area. Is that the type of measure of the
impact? It's not on the basis of, when we put a proposition, so it's a bit like you do today. You know, we need to put together a document and say, these are the deprived areas, this is where we're going to target, this is where we're going to target. So it's not only, it'll include, you know, the top bottom deprived wards, you know, within the South Armagh area, within the South Down area, up around in the Kale area. So there's a number of them areas, there's, you know, West Belfast, there's a number of them areas, there's, you know, West Belfast, there's a number number of other areas within the Antigua Navy area as well. So what we would be saying is that's where we want to see economic growth, and we would be measured against that.
Is it likely that we would get a full shopping basket in our
office? No. No, we, but the problem is, the state, they, all the projects, there's nothing in there that people haven't heard about. They were all, they're all projects that we're looking at. We could rank them ourselves, and probably end, we're going to do a piece of work now to start doing ranking on it. So that would be a discussion we have on the 25th. But they'll be ranked on the basis of what they're going to achieve. You're not going to get, it's £1 billion, as it stands at the moment, all council areas is over £2 billion. We're not going to get over £2 billion. So the work we need to do, and that's what we're getting agreement for today in terms of getting that work with KPMG, is to flesh out what are the best achievers. That's not to say a project, if it doesn't go as part of the CD, we won't be working on the deliver. So it's something like I'm sort of saying, the answer is that say the further relief rule falls short, that doesn't mean we stop, don't stop doing, we stop doing work on it. We'll continue to do work on it. But the issue is, it doesn't become part of the deal, because the deal has to be your top, your best projects.
Yeah. You see on that, the like that marine and work line, well, like, you know, that, that's dead short in terms of the region, European money for dropped off of that. So, would we have a better concentrate on something like that? Because there's a better chance of teams of getting money than I was going to from other sources, more so than that, which is the tourism. You know, it's more of a tourism-driven project, you know, so. So
we're going to have to make decisions, you know, going forward. I would argue it's what's going to make the biggest impact to the area, and that would come out as part of the ranking, you know. But if the project's not going to achieve, then basically it'll fall off the list, you know, it'll be the key strategic projects.
All right. Thanks very much, Chairman, for that, man. It was a very interesting presentation, you know. The Scottish guy, the consultant who got the initial connectivity, was that?
Yeah, exactly.
He did point out, you know, if you're working on connectivity issues, a lot of that's based on your roads infrastructure and whatever as well. I know they have included the Southern Relief Road, but the likes of Newcastle being a gateway project and Tokyo Harbour, if it stayed in, the A3 is the only section of Trump, or road that's not Trump. And, you know, a small amount of money would have been helpful there. But on the other issue, I wanted to ask you, have we any idea what our financial contribution would be to the scheme overall?
At this point in time, we don't have. That's why the finance, there's a group with the finance directors putting that together. It's going to be, it's going to depend on the project. So say, for example, New York City said for a regeneration project, say that was your number one project. Well, that's virtually all council funding, right? But say you had the Southern Relief Road, then that, the majority of that money will be, you know, from the department. So we'll be, we would be bringing treasury money, matching department money. And the only council funding will be is to move it up to a stage in terms of developing the business case, to make, to move it up the priority list. So we do a lot of consultancy work to bring it forward. So it will depend really what the final projects are as we go forward on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Chairman, again, just to finally expose the recommendations is start to note through the presentation in terms of an update. Is to proceed to allocate. We've talked within the budget this year, £50,000 to actually bring it to the next stage in terms of the equipment scale and bringing that forward. And get agreement for that, Chairman. And then, conscious that the membership of the committee has changed regarding the joint forum. So we're suggesting the 8 members, again, I put them down there. I've linked them to ERP because critical that these projects are very much right, driven out of this committee, so it's critically important that he's got that connectivity, and also the leadership with the chair of council being involved in, I think it's critically important that this is a major strategic alliance between ourselves and the other councils, and I think that's important. So Chairman, the recommendations are really primarily to agree the fund with 50,000 towards it and the membership.
Proposed motion on Saturday. Okay, everyone, thanks for being there. Thank you. We'll move on to item number 7. Is on the market, Marie or Jonathan's going to get us through
it. Sure, yes, the council has previously agreed to run another pilot Ironman market challenge in Drent Harbour. That's the over held in April of Edger, Chairman, and following on from those that have been very successful in terms of the income from producers. Obviously, the recommendation is to move forward progressive in terms of how previously farmers that enter the service level of the two RPGs to continue to own these on an ongoing basis, Sherman, in Newcastle and the public.
Willie, hi.
Thanks, Sherman. Just to say that the bulk market sort of had a bit of major success. I suppose we've had the weather as well in all of the markets, and really huge turnouts in all the markets in around the Newcastle's in around 1,000 people actually visit the market. So I think it proves there's an appetite for farmers' markets, artisan markets, and local produce. On that basis, I would like to propose that we do award the contract.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm happy that I'm not proposing on the terms of all of that topic. Obviously, brilliant, really well attended, certainly something they are building on, and looking forward to the next one. Those can be a bit summer weather related, but certainly that all took a start and they're going to be able to continue. So, yeah, thank you.
Yes, and I just, as I said, obviously, was very impressed with the fact that there's a couple of thousand or more people. And both of these, looking at the bigger transport into the town, it was 5,000 per pound on a monthly basis in the market. So I was going to say, given that there isn't any negativeness at all, let me ask this to
officer. Not for a month, Jack, I'm sorry.
Not for a month. It is one per month, isn't it?
Not
for a month, it's on a monthly basis.
That's not for a month.
This game's ready to step right, ready for a possibly a new looking warm line. So I suggest that, take on board. It's up to the open and care that it's not working. So that's what I would like to propose.
With the work of the ministry for quite a considerable time back, and the thing is, if it's moving forward, he's up in other areas, but it doesn't have to have a process.
Just looking at the reports, going to report. That's why I'm saying that we also go and talk to the. I was saying probably the better of the others.
So considering our five-sided use of the moment,
it doesn't have to be a complicated thing. It'll be open to the camera, it doesn't have to be a part of it. And the
proposal, right? Or he proposed it.
It's more. It's been like the example from the world of the water box. And somewhere in more of my mind, summer in the summer or one thing. If the ask was going to say it was one of the generally the same producers that are going to both times.
I think there's some overlap there, but there's some difference as well. So we're going to get to that today.
So maybe do a scoping exercise there with those current ones and the ones that are overlapping to see is there a prospect of taking another one of mine.
We can somehow we can have got you on the basis and say that it is around 4,000 producers as far as salad somewhere through and then maybe it'll pick up a lot of producers and more local to the area as well, but that's something we have to flesh out, at a local level. So that's something we can pick up.
Then you're next.
I'm happy enough there to work this thing so that I like it would be fine to find out whether it's sustainable. Come the end of the season, Murray, I would like a little bit of work done with the local business, so with the permanent business, to see if they're noticing any impact at all by their business is up down or something else is happening. Is that good?
Brian?
Yes, sir. I attended the market at the beer shop.
Microphone, Brad.
I attended the market at the beer shop and thought it was very good, very successful. But I think we could maybe do a wee bit more work. And in fact, installed from within the more local DEAs. I noticed for a market at the moment, the couple of fish stalls that we have, while they were very good, none of them were more fish stalls. So what came from? So why are we not trying to promote with the more local of business?
We have a proposal in the back there, Rosie.
No, I was just going to make the point that I think it is worth keeping in mind that we were particularly lucky with the weather that day. Bear in mind that it was in March. The weather was absolutely superb, and I know there was really, really good feedback. But all of these things need to be looked at over a 12-month period because, if the weather was horrendous, it would be a different story, I would think, So I think it's always jump into things, after one, I'm sure Brian would all the sea games, all the fish came from the Irish Sea somewhere, so I wouldn't worry about whether it was good game or not.
Okay, folks, we're moving on then to item number 8 and the PRDM future application. Ready? Jonathan again?
Yes, sir. Just ready to take on the council of purpose of that three applications under the best adult program term. I have details that are around working on applications around pricing development, sales development, physical program term. So, taking a privilege to make those applications and they're working if they're successful, we'll be on the ground to the end of the year.
Aye,
we'll be
Sagner. I'm happy to move on then. Okay, we'll move on to item number 9, the Capital Island Forest Park. And again, Jonathan, again.
Charlie, you have the report there, it's reported to have been finished. A working group, Chairman, that was held earlier, it was right at the end of May. Recommendation is to progress the application to the end of the year. Obviously, to reduce the cost of $100 pension fund sources and, if necessary, have a sort of phased approach to bring the project, to keep the project within the anticipated budget term.
Again, we're not going to propose in the second of that recommendation. So, the post office, the second of that one. Okay, and we move on then to the next item, which is the tourism cluster development program. I'll be there to see that.
The Pippersett Trade Work has been ongoing with tourism hospitality businesses since October, really, of last year, on developing new visitor experiences and developing the capability of the businesses themselves. There's been a number of different elements of this program. The first one was forming supporting clusters of tourism hospitality businesses, of which we've currently got 6 clusters and over 45 businesses involved. The second element was the creation of new visitor experiences. And through this process, some of those experiences are now being sold by international tour operators. Most notably, those experiences for the Moorings that's being sold by a German operator from this summer onwards. And the third element was the delivery of the sales and marketing program that was delivered to 15 businesses that focused on development and growth. The paper sets out the plans and proposals to continue this work from September onwards. We've actually got a short video that provides some feedback from the businesses that went through the programme from September onwards, so we'll just play that now.
My name is Kate Taylor, I'm a chamber trainer, and I've been facilitating a recent course on sales and marketing skills for touring businesses. The program was designed initially to really demystify the world of sales and marketing. So it was a wide range of sales and marketing topics. We had a selection of different touring businesses on the course, so accommodation providers, activity providers, and many other categories as well, and all seemed to benefit quite fully from the course. It also has benefited the destination as a whole because it's integrated part of the travel program that's being run by Maribor and Council. And we hope to run the full program again at some stage in the future.
I'm Orin Mears, and I'm the marketing manager of the Canal Course Hotel in Newry. I've attended the course with Kate, and I have to say that I have learned so much from it. We identified the need for specifically targeting different segments. For example, our wedding market is a huge different market to perform with, as is our family market, so we were able to identify key markets. A very valuable thing that we did learn was the digital side of things and how to use our SEO correctly, and that we will be taking away and obviously implementing that. So that was a massive advantage of the course.
We are now going to next year, and I just want to say thank you for the amazing course and really getting the new challenge and focus to have the division and organization on. Right to the real practical and the first time realistic goal setting and grounding. So that's from you, Bonnie. Yeah,
my name is Dane Bonnie from Equals Adventure. I'm just completed this Wheel of Marketing Skills course delivered by Kate Taylor. It's been a really good course, very beneficial, and I've helped the team focus on really what we're going to try and get through over the next 18 months. We've got a lot of work to do, and it's been very, very helpful. One of the biggest things that I took from the course personally was the SEO part of working with our website and really maximizing what we're getting out from the website and making sure we're reaching out to the right type of customer to hopefully get them to engage with and start buying. Yeah, okay, so I'm Martin McMullen, I'm the director of Flight Adventure and based in Castle Well. So the course itself has been a really valuable time out of the office to reflect on the business itself. So it's time out where we get the opportunity to consider what we're doing both in the business at a strategic level and at a tactical level. It's a great opportunity to network with other businesses that are in the region in a very, very similar position, which is very useful at the strategic level. And then also it enhances what we're doing back on a day-to-day basis in terms of enhancing the business, building not just from my own point of view, but also building the capacity of the wider team. So what we're doing behind the scenes, becoming a lot more organized, a lot more efficient, a lot more focused, a lot more targeted. Yeah, I think it's probably worth saying that some of the questions the kids posed over the 5 days have been really, really challenging, which is really, really good to get us thinking. It's quite often when you're in your business on a day-to-day basis, you're not pushed at that level, and you tend to get dragged away with the day-to-day run of the business. Where kids were pushed to some areas, not only of leadership, but also the strategic level and the strategic direction which we're going, and it has been quite challenging at times. So it's going from challenging to some really useful bits of information and skills and knowledge that we can take back. So it's been a pretty hectic 5 days, but very, very useful and a really good basis on which hopefully we can build on. And it would be great to see this group under the direction or facilitation of Kit or the council in a mentor role of going forward and building and certainly building the capacity of the wider industry in the region.
So that's just about getting some of the feedback from the businesses on one element of the programme, but really going forward, based on feedback as well, we'll be looking at the digital marketing capability of the businesses, working with their operators more to start selling the experiences into the international market, and then continuing with the mentoring and clustering program. The proposal will be to start from September this year to run to April 2019, and proposals are included in the paper.
Okay, very positive comments from those that have taken part. We are proposing a calendar then that we follow the recommendation, right? Proposing, second,
Michael, sir, I do know there were 6 clusters and 10 visitor experiences, and if you say it's quite positive, I've been coming back from the mentoring programs that I did. So the request was to find out who's participating in the district in those various programs.
And certainly we can circulate that list of the experiences that have been developed and the businesses that are actually engaging in those clusters. And just to say also that it's an open door policy with those clusters that other tourism and hospitality businesses are very welcome to. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Michael. Okay, we'll
move on to item number 11, which is the GeoParks International Conference. And we have Givers and Sponsors. And Andy, yourself again.
The paper provides details of the communication activities that have been ongoing over the past 4 months to promote the GeoPark project. Council officers have been attending tourism, or will be attending tourism events in the summer to continue to promote the GeoPark concept to residents and stakeholders. As a requirement, the council has been invited to attend the 8th International UNESCO Global GeoPark Conference in Italy as part of the assessment process and opportunity to network with some of the assessors that will eventually come in and look at our proposals. Just to point out also, there was a bit of a typo there, a proposal for the chair of council and one officer to attend the conference in Italy in September.
Yeah, I would propose that because I think if we're going to move forward with this program park, we need to be, you know, very focused on what we're doing. We've been about for quite a while now, and I would suggest that we go ahead with that and really move this project forward. Thank you.
I think it's important to get the best practice from elsewhere, to get the consultation so far, a wee flavour of how it's going, and what's the reaction from the different stakeholders. That's been part of the announcement. We've been out to farmers' markets, we've been out to different events with health talks within the museums. And largely the feedback is positive. Where it hasn't been positive, we've managed to talk to stakeholders and I suppose allay their fears that there's often questions around planning restrictions, about a connection with the national park, for example. Those things we clearly outline that a geopark is a different concept, it doesn't have planning restrictions, it's really a marketing tool to promote the district. And I'm glad to say that people come to those consultations that haven't been, I suppose, very positive about the submission, have been more positive on leaving the consultation, so it's actually proved our purposes for us very well. But we'd like to continue with those activities over the summer and continue with the communication and education programs for the submission.
Okay, so we have a proposal and a second with that now. We'll move on into item number 12, Mr. Bowman, it's tourism events,
In 1818, tourism events program was 35,000 reported profiles against two tourism events in Ballinahinch. We've since understood that the game of market fair is not now due to go ahead. So therefore, the paper sets out proposals to develop and deliver a new Auckland Harvest and Tourism Festival in Ballinahinch in September. It's to be developed in close partnership with the local tourism and hospitality businesses and local stakeholders in the town and the area. The council officers have been engaging with stakeholders in Ballinahinch and have felt this event could act as a catalyst to create and support a tourism cluster of like-minded stakeholders in the area. So it was proposed that the event would go ahead and would fund a tourism production company to assist us in delivering that.
Thank you, Chairman. No, I definitely welcome the paper. We've seen all the hard work and effort that has been done to it. Definitely some was really good in the past. I'm looking forward to some of the ideas with it. I'm looking forward to talking to you about that as it progresses. I'm happy that they're going to propose it. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Robert?
I was second up there because there is another person there in the Thunderbolt edge area. I think it's a really good program.
Support
you have a comment on that? Sure, just a question for
If you're a production company, how much is it going to cost, and is that going to come out at $35,000, which would lower the amount of money can be spent on that then?
And certainly we would look at appointing a company within that budget. Now we would be looking at putting budget appointing a production company, because really we'd be looking at a supplier coming in and providing economies of scale to give us better value looking at delivering an event, and also working very closely with the stakeholders to develop what that event looks like. So in terms of the proportion, we'd have to look at that, but the overall total of the event delivery budget will be £35,000.
Just on the ideas, is this sort of coming out of nowhere, or is it, how much notice have you had that this one sort of transpired, that this sort of company to have any of the other events that are going ahead?
Well, as I say, with 35,000 profiles in the events program, but there's a great appetite within the town for an event, particularly in the sort of autumn period. So we've been working with stakeholders to a fair degree already, and I suppose with the likes of the Walking Trails now opening soon with Montalvo, there's a great business at Mulbrook Lodge Hotel. There's a group of stakeholders looking at the history and the story of Birmingham itself. So there has been a degree of work so far done. So there's very solid proposals of what this could look like. But we just need to appoint a company to sort of put that on to extent.
Right, thank you.
Brian.
Yes, thank you, is this a
Happy day, John Thompson.